Welcome back to another edition of Birds of a Feather. This is your girl, AJ Suburban Princess, here with another co-ed edition with our boy, Eddie B. What's up?
What's going on? I'm good, AJ. How are you?
Have you swum to work in this
Hey, yeah.
rain?
Oh, yesterday was crazy. I had to stop for a little bit. I couldn't see driving.
Yeah.
It was bad. I got right away and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna stop somewhere because it was bad. So,
I
and
mean,
it finally stopped, but it was just bad.
and it took a pause today because I actually made myself get out the house and walk a little bit, but then it played me because toward the end, here comes this clouds rolling in. Then I go pick up my nephew and it's just like it started raining like nothing happened. I just was like, are you done? Like, are you really done yet? Like, four
No, we're gonna
days.
rain. I mean, we got what? I think tomorrow's supposed to be last day of rain. I
I thought
think.
it stopped tomorrow. Like, I thought officially we were done.
Yeah, I think tonight's supposed to be, but I think there's a small chance tomorrow. So, I think,
All right.
but.
Well, birds of a feather, we basically are in this middle of this really weird Noah's Ark weather, and it has obviously affected the Phillies play because last night's game was delayed, what, twice last night? And they.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was supposed to go on at one. It was scheduled to four,
Right.
and then it didn't really start until eight. So,
So, needless to say, that series with the Reds was like they only got one win out of that, right? It was one out of three.
yeah,
So,
but they had 2-4 start the first two series, which is actually better than they did last year.
okay, so we're going to talk about the Phillies in general just because clearly me and Eddie are in Phillies mode because, it literally just kicked off. And yeah, opening day, I don't remember them ever winning. Do you remember them ever winning on opening day?
Not recently, no.
No, me either. So,
And honestly, for me, it's look, it's 162 games to play. I don't really put stock in the.
I
I
know.
mean, they're still figuring stuff out in the beginning because they can honestly. Everybody's like, oh, they just start off hot. I'm like, yeah, but then they start off hot. Then what did they make it cold like some teams do, like the Mets. So.
That's how I have, like, that is the reasonable way to feel. But as you know, as us fans, we are pissed off because we wanted an excuse to get out of our, this is that weird doldrum period before anything good happens with our other teams. We haven't had any Eagles news up until today, as far as re-upping on contracts. But let's just be real. I mean, it was kind of a bummer. It was the Braves was the opening series. I'm glad they even got one win, right? They didn't get swept. They got one win on
Yeah,
that too.
I mean last year they got swept both starting series last year.
And this is why I have Eddie on here, because my memory is obviously not as good as his, because I clearly didn't remember that. I just know that every time they kick off neg like in a negative space, it just always kind of annoys me because it's like you have to be patient as a fan because they get a lot more chances than say, where we're at with the Sixers now, where they're down to like what, five regular season games before they, because they're going to be in the play-in tournament, right, with the Sixers at this point.
Yeah,
They're done.
right now, yeah, because they're in the eighth spot right
A
now,
spot.
and they pretty
So
much locked they're locked in. So,
what were they last year? Since we're moving on to another genre at this point, the Sixers were what, fifth seed last year, third seed, what? I don't
fifth,
remember.
yeah, I think it was fifth seed last year. Yeah.
Yeah. So we obviously know half of the season went to hell as soon as Embiid went down. The difference was this time around he finally got surgery, because I hate when he gets injured and then he decides he's going to try to He-Man his way through a season when it's like clearly he needs his knees. He needs any
Big
big,
man, yeah.
he's a big 7-footer guy and he just couldn't keep limping, especially when the last time he injured it, somebody landed on it, which made it even worse. So let's just say we're very glad that Embiid was back for the game the other night versus OKC. This general roster, as we know, has been an adjustment. As we know, the past couple months have not been fun, but you can't blame them because you put too much emphasis on Tobias, and we all know that he can only do so much. He's paid like an all-star, but he does not show up like an all-star when
No,
it really
not
matters.
consistent enough. Not,
Not consistent enough. We don't think he's
and
a
the sad
horrible
thing
player,
is, yeah,
but
and the sad thing is, I like Tobias, but he is not
I do too.
consistent.
I do too. And that's the only thing I have against him too. And I think that he's aware of this. There's nothing
Yeah.
you can You could, there's nothing you can say at this point in his contract that will deny the fact that he has had many opportunities to be the man in Embiid's presence, I mean, absence, and even when Maxey's down. And you know, he's older, so it's like he's not going to be able to kick the team back into the gear that they need when they start
Oh,
to
yeah.
lull. I like Kelly Oubre on the team. I clearly see his fight. You know, we see obviously the growth of, to me, he's no longer B-ball Paul. Now he is Paul Reed this year. He has truly grown up. You know, he's no longer playing to me like a G leaguer. I think he's finally crossed that mental,
Yeah.
you know, that mental, what's the word I want to say, hurdle,
Yeah.
of being
Yep.
just a G leaguer and playing small. I think he knows where he belongs. You can tell he seems like he's in the flow. Talk about what you view the Sixers as far as this team, as far as this point in their season. How do you overall look at this team?
Honestly, I don't know what to expect going into the playoffs this year for them, to be honest with you. I don't. It's do I like the pieces that they put together? I like what Nick Nurse put together, what they have. I mean, I think they have legitimate good players, and we'll see how the spacing works out with Embiid being back, because I think that'll help Buddy Hield, like his shooting and stuff like that. I think. And then having Kyle Lowry there too, that'll help as well. So we'll see how that works. But we need consistent play out of everybody going to playoffs. It's gonna have to happen. Council that's gonna have to. I like Council.
Yeah, I do. I do
And
appreciate him as
I just
well.
want to
I'm
see what these
starting
guys are gonna
to look
do.
at Campaign a little different too. Campaign is
Yeah.
starting to, you know,
Yeah, the bench is solid though. I mean,
the
for a
bench has
change.
definitely improved, yes.
Yeah. So I'm curious. And what how that's gonna play out, you know, because you know they only run like what 11 guys for the
Right.
playoffs, I think. Yeah, so we'll see how it runs out.
You say the word spacing, and that automatically makes me think to past playoffs where that was always seemed to be the issue. Somebody was not, and correct me if I'm wrong, Eddie. I always feel like sometimes the problem has always been spacing because sometimes some guys are playing positions that they normally play differently, and they're on this team where they're, I don't know the numbers, I'm just gonna throw them out. Like sometimes they're a five, sometimes they're a four. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, do you feel that that's part of the spacing issue is that some guys had different roles and they haven't been able to
Well, yeah, and you
play
can't
up to
space the
them in
floor.
the playoffs?
Yeah, and you can't space the floor when, you know, since everybody's gonna crash on Embiid, then you should have guys open for shots, for looks, you know, that should be money for them. That should be like, okay, I got open shots now. You know, so
Do you
that's
feel they cured that though? Like if there's been times
Well,
that they've been open, has someone hit the shot enough in your eyes?
we'll see how that works out. I don't because we don't we haven't seen enough of it to know how it's going to work with Embiid in there. I mean, because he's been gone.
Right.
You know, a lot of these pieces came in after the fact. So,
And in the absence of Embiid, we've noticed that some of them games could have easily been won if there had been a lack of shooting at a certain time, say in the third or fourth quarter, and the momentum got switched. Because
Yeah.
don't you agree that even without Embiid at times they had games in hand and they
Oh
just
yeah, they had some winnable games, definitely. I mean, because they were in they never there's a few games that they played without him they've actually been completely out of, and it's very rare when that happens. So they're competitive enough to actually still be in the game. So I mean, I would like to see how it's going to play out now that he's back. You know, and now that I mean, it's going to take him a minute to get his conditioning back up. I mean, be honest with you. I
Now, to
mean.
me, I don't think he looks. He said he gained 50 pounds. I feel like he looks leaner. Doesn't he look leaner to you?
I don't think he looks. He don't look that. He don't look bigger at all to me.
He
I don't
looks
know why.
leaner to me. I thought he was going to look heavier. He looks leaner. So something changed in his diet and what he's been
Yeah.
doing, because he's been saying he's been depressed during his whole healing process because he said this was a different injury for him and the process.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's just years of being injured every year is what's really taken its toll on him. That's what I think it is.
Speaking of leaner, did you see Schwarber? Schwarber lost like 30 pounds, 30, 40 pounds, 30 pounds.
Come to think of it, that picture when they took with Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox, you're right. I didn't even realize that was him.
Do you see how thin he is now?
Yeah,
He's like
because
slimmed
now that
down
you
a little
think,
bit.
yeah, because now that I think about
Yeah.
that picture when you took with Bryce, him, Fletcher, and Jason. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even realize that was Schwarber. Wow, you're right.
But the thing, he still got his power though, because he saw him breaking a couple bats the other night.
Well, I looked down and missed the first homer that he did when I watched the other night, but I remember thinking, like, when I saw the replay, I was like, holy crap. he literally just did like a lateral home run. Like he just went straight,
yeah, it was
straight
a,
into the corner.
It was a line drive. Yeah.
But you're right, leaner. And I think with like Embiid, the leaner thing is good for him in general because, like you said, that's usually been the issue when he's injured is
yeah,
him
it takes
ramping up
pressure
his
off
cardio.
knees. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I feel bad that he even, and he could have just been exaggerating because it could have been 50 pounds of muscle for all we know. He didn't look fat to us at all. But I wonder if the mental toll of all these years of dealing with the same type of comeback, you know, in the regular season is starting to bug him. You know what I mean? Because he's still young, but he's old in terms of the progress of the
yeah.
team. Still young, you know?
And he's more mature now, so I think he's
is.
In a better place as far as if this happened a couple years ago, maybe
Yeah,
not. But
maybe
right
not.
now,
He
he's
probably
in a
take
better
it lightly.
place. Yeah, he's in a
Yeah.
better place now than he was, you know, back then. So,
all right, so we're looking at the eighth seed for them. Tonight is not. Is the play-in tournament after they finish these regular seasons, or is it during?
After.
All right, so the play-in, which is not something we really are rooting for, obviously, but at this point, like, that's all they got right now.
Kind of wish they didn't have the play-in so they can rest up a little bit. But
exactly. In this case, that might actually be better, because usually they don't – teams like this kind of really can't afford to take breaks, if you know what I mean. Like, they
yeah. –
I mean, other than the All-Star break, it's like this team has to just keep going, you know, shots firing, because – I mean, for Embiid to play as long as he technically did, even though I missed the whole game, but I know that they said that they were impressed with how Nick Nurse gave him time to play,
yeah,
because considering
he played 30 minutes.
He did pretty darn
First
good.
First
game back,
20,
not just 24 being,
points, went 12 for 12 from the free throw line. I mean, that's not much more you can ask. I mean, if he didn't get that kind of performance, we don't win that game. So.
No, especially not towards the end. Because the way that crazy ending, I mean, that game, when I saw the way that ended, I was like, I'm confused. What the hell just happened? There was just this weird delay.
And that ending was crazy against
crazy.
The Clippers last week when they should have won. Because
yes, they should have won that game. Because
Oubre got fouled. He was clearly fouled. And they even said they missed it. They said they made a bad call.
It gave us the best meme of the week, though. You're a bitch. You're a bitch. You're a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great, actually.
By far, he has entrenched himself in my heart after that, because that, to me, is true Philly behavior, when you just like, I don't even care if I get fined. And, of course, as soon as the presser came, he was all, I should have said that and all that stuff. I'm like, sorry, Kel. But they quickly slammed that $25,000 on.
I wouldn't, I'm be honest with you, I wouldn't backtrack at all after. Like, I'm already writing a check. I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. They're all bitches.
Who's the player? Was it Van Fleet that year that he just straight up said, I know I'm going to get fined, so I'm going to just say it. You know what I mean? He was the one.
Yeah.
Because you might as well.
You already know it's coming. Like, you already said it and it's coming. You might as well. Why take it back now?
Right. You might as well just say, I'm going to just go ham on the rest tonight because that was some BS and I'm willing to take the fine. And then they find Nick Nurse because he probably in his nice Canadian
Nick
way
Nurse
was cursing.
Mad.
He's been livid for the past couple weeks at the end of these games.
Nick Nurse was pissed off.
He was like, when he's red like that, like, you could tell, because even when we played him when they were in Toronto, I remember just seeing Nick Nurse's face, and I would be cracking up because I'd be like,
he's ready to throw some hands. Like, he was mad.
And him, I don't know if he's from Canada, but I know that he has a way about him that I'm just like, nah, he's dropping F-bombs tonight. Like, that's not the nice Nick Nurse. That's the Nick Nurse. It's like, I will put you in the hospital.
He's not that pretty picture of what we paint Canadians as. So.
No, he can
super
tell
nice,
sometimes.
Right?
He's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, so.
Yeah.
Now, honestly, at this point, like I said, I'm ready for the regular season to be over because, like you said, I am anticipating to see how the spacing looks. And I also just want to see if they even have it for the first round. Because at this point, it could go either way. Because, like you said, they got a lot of role players that could just turn it on. And I just hope that they're not tripping over each other to try to get, you know, out of the first round. Who's the first round most likely? Do you know?
Well, it all depends where they finish out in the play-in. Like, where they slide them in what seed they end up with.
We don't need the Celtics because they will whip them. The Celtics will beat them.
I mean, I'd take them in the second round, not the first.
Right.
They've been playing the Celtics pretty good when they play them, except for that one game when they got smoked. But other than that, they played Celtics pretty well. But
I mean, honestly, I take it just like
I don't
the
want
Eagles
them that.
I don't want that fifth round. No, because that's going to be a one and done. And we already went through that last year. So if we could please look slightly competitive this year, and I feel like there's a lot of hungry new faces on this team that at least want to try to go out with a fight. And I'm trying not to be uber negative, because, you know, I didn't give a crap about this whole season from the door. I ain't going to lie to you. But I decided to cheer from afar, but not be totally negative Nancy, but just be like, all right, I see something. Yeah. I just want to see, we all just want to see effort. And I mean, you and me always talk about every year, just give me effort. And a lot of the new faces and the role players on the team now, technically, I feel like are outshining Tobias in my eyes.
Well, yeah, they're playing harder.
But Tobias is clearly hurt, because they just said he has a bad bone bruise. So I don't think he's going to be playing until the playoffs at least another couple games. So he can afford to sit out, because I honestly, the only thing I think that I can say that I've really appreciated him, besides the obvious issues, is that his defense has been pretty consistent, more than it's ever been since he's been a Sixer, because he didn't play no kind of defense before. I think now he's become more aggressive. You would never equivocate Tobias Harris's defense, but he's been, to me, last year and this year, and I think even a little bit of the year before, I started to see a change in him approaching defense. I don't feel like he's afraid to get fouled anymore, gets pissed off when he gets fouled, but I feel like he's a lot more aggressive than he's ever been. So somebody finally lit a fire in that part of his game. But everything else, you know, it's obviously the consistent issue. So, all right, so moving on, good news with the Eagles, the obvious lockups that have happened all year. We talked about CJ Gardner-Chauncey coming back. Today, they decided, not only shout out to Jalen Carter, it's his birthday today, so shout out to our bread man. Jordan Mailata has been upped three years. Good for him. That's a big deal for a transition rugby player into an American football player.
I know.
He's come leaps and bounds. That's amazing.
Yeah, somebody who never played a lick of football in his life.
Never played a lick.
He gets that position and he becomes one of the best in the league. So, I mean.
And he's the NFL's shining reason, which I'm sure there's many, obviously, now that they have this whole, what do they call it, the International Players Program, where they kind of ingratiate other players from other countries. Because I think the Chiefs just got a player from another country that's I don't even know what position he's at. I don't know if he's a wide receiver or what, but the Chiefs just got some other player from another country who I think is a rugby player as well. And I think when I read it on Twitter, I cracked up, because I'm like, look at them trying to be us.
They're like, ooh, it worked for them. Let's try.
It worked for the Eagles. So, but yeah, so congratulations, Jordan Mailata.
Just don't grab any more firemen like we tried one time. So
no, I think if anything, if you're going to try somebody that's totally different position, stick to rugby or stick to all the other rougher sports. I mean, we're still holding on to the Olympic guy, Devin. They haven't given him away.
I mean, he's good for depth and special teams, so it's fine. Leave him. Yeah.
I still feel like we should just let him return a punt. Just what? I know that what's his name is getting more confident, but. I think they should let him loose one day on the regular season. I really do.
Yeah, but the guy who's been – I always space on his name.
I know. We all blank on his name. But I know you're talking about.
He's been returning really well. He's gotten a lot better.
No, he got better. He definitely got better.
Which is crazy. Like, all of a sudden, he's, like, making returns. I'm like, oh. Even though he scares me because he's so small, I think he's going to die when he gets hit.
I think he learned from Boston Scott, because some of those cuts that he did in that one game, I don't know if it was the Bills game or it was a home game, I know for sure, because he went half the distance of the field and he saved the special teams Michael Clay's job, because homeboy was about to be packing and going this year, because he was not, special teams wasn't doing shit for him, you know. And with Sean Bradley down as far as one of his, you know, star special teams, and then, you know, just the general lack of coverage in special teams for like 2 years. I think that it's not Devin. I almost had it. I said Devin, but it's not Devin. It's the other guy. Oh, God, it's going to annoy me. But anyway, he did make leaps and bounds this year, literally. So I think that that's a good look for special teams.
Yeah.
And obviously with Landon sewn up, that's great. Now, oh, yes. And we have to announce that Avante, I was right. He did stay for another year. I didn't see any point of them letting him go, because I know he's not going to get.
I had a feeling he was going to come back. I had a feeling they were going to.
No other team is going to take him with his injury history. He's not going to get on another team. I guarantee it. So I just felt like he was just there for the Eagles to just clear some more deals before they signed him again, because he's not going to be a big liability. And he knows he has to stay 100% healthy. Now, mind you, it's football, and he's a small guy. But truth be told, as much as some people were mad on Twitter, I was happy for it, because not only for Dallas, because that's his best friend, but I also feel like Avante is the only one on that part of defense that knows how to freaking tackle. And maybe that's why he is always hurt, because he knows how to freaking tackle.
I mean, he gets hurt all the time. He plays so
he does,
damn
but
hard.
He can tackle. He's not afraid to tackle. Everybody has been showing how their butts were afraid to tackle last year, even with the new guys that they brought on. Clearly in the games that we needed them to tackle in the fourth quarter, they just kind of just let folks run through them. So that's the one thing I will say about Avante. I will die on that hill. That boy is not afraid to tackle. You know what I'm saying? So, and we never get to see him finish it out too much, because obviously he gets lost in the sauce when he gets injured.
Yeah.
But I mean, and he also had injuries that are going to affect how he tackles: shoulders, chest, ankles, feet. You know what I mean? Like, so if those key things are injured, of course he's not going to be effective. But when he was out there, you saw them dreads all over the freaking field. Like, he flies at people. You know what I mean? So I just feel like, besides the negativity that's obviously thrown on him, because they're like, he's going to get hurt in the fifth game, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't care. He's familiar. The nickel position isn't exactly for like sewn up for them right now. So what's the harm in keeping him for another
year?
And
it's hard to find a good nickel guy. And
that's why I said, know, like, people aren't realizing this is a depth thing. It has nothing to do with whether he's worth it. It's not like they gave him a max contract. They just gave him an extra year.
Yeah. And Reed, Reed is coming back on got extended too. So
yes, Blankenship. Reed Blankenship. Yeah, yes, you're right. Correct. He was the latest. That was after the news about
Covey. Covey is the guy's name.
Covey, thank you. Yes, yeah. Covey. That's Covey's our guy. But yes, Reed did get upped, and that was right literally a day or two after it was put out there that Hassan is a Jet now, which was painful but understandable, because there's too many people that the Eagles have to sign. I knew somebody I like was going to have to go. I didn't think it was going to be him.
I didn't like it. I don't like it.
No,
but
it's not good.
I mean, but at the same time, it's like,
you can't have everything. Everybody can't be saved.
Yeah, and I had a conversation with somebody about this, and they were like, oh, why is, like, look, you're talking about a 30-year-old edge rusher.
Right.
And that's why they didn't gamble. They didn't want to gamble on trying to extend him. Even though they could have maybe kept him and got the commissary pick for him anyway, if he didn't sign again. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, fans' biggest argument was the return. Like, why would we get for a pick we're not getting for 2 years? Why would we do that for a conditional pick? You know what I mean?
It could potentially be a second rounder, which is if it becomes a second rounder, great. Okay.
Next year. You know? It would have been nice to get a pick this year. You know what I mean? Because at this point, Howie's all about trying to get picks, I would think. So it didn't make sense, but to me, it just spelled he wanted more money. He deserves more money. They couldn't make room for that. That's the bottom line.
And I love Hassan. Yeah, me too. And I keep trying to explain to people, like, yo, you gotta remember, this is a business first too. It's a sport and a business. It's a business too. And these guys are like, it's always been that way.
You have to think about it. We got spoiled with two local Philly boys on our team for 1 year. That was exciting. Mm-hmm. Now, if they had just topped it off with a Super Bowl when it would have mattered, it would have been even better for them to go off. You know what I mean? Because they could say they got their chip. But you know, DeAndre's now on Chicago, and Hassan's legit. So look, the difference is Bryce Huff was whooping Hurst's ass when we played the Jets last year. So maybe it's good that Hurst ain't got to run from him now.
And he'll get to play some more, so we'll see.
Right.
And
we're just praying that that's going to...
I think our offense is going to be nasty with Saquon in it. I don't care what anybody says. Everybody's like, oh, they shouldn't have went on that. So I was like, offense is going to be filthy with Saquon. We got a bell cow for the first time in ages.
First of all, if you got a running back that looks like he could hold a car on his back, he's already showing workout videos. I'm scared for everyone else. So
the fact that he even
revealed already working out, I'm scared, because
seriously, he is excited. Like,
Saquon is a big boy, and we needed a big back. And
we haven't had a bruiser in a while.
Hurt, I'm here for it, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we got a guy who can do. We finally have a running back that can do it all, and we haven't had that in a long time. We haven't had that since
Westbrook.
You know, we haven't had that really since Shady. Honestly, I mean, that could do it all.
I don't know why I keep forgetting about Shady. I guess in my head, you know why? Because I think at those times nobody was talking about backs that could block because we just cared that they could break tackles and run east, west, north, south.
And Shady, I think I look at,
Shady could. We don't like the way he held the ball, though. Let's be honest. He held that ball like a pancake. He was
like a loaf of bread.
Loaf of bread. Now, Westbrook is always what I think of because I always felt like Westbrook could do it all. You know, Westbrook was always that guy that he could go here, he could run here, he could block from the McNabb, he could, pass on the catch on the run. That is, to me, what Saquon brings, and we'll need that because if they decide to actually turn up some of these damn play calls and actually do some trick plays when it makes sense, as opposed to being a vanilla offense, Saquon's going to help them do that.
I think Kellen Moore is going to open up our playbook a little bit, honestly. I think he will.
I want to get back to having fun. I want to get back to watching an offense that actually, like, you do not know what's going to happen. Like, we haven't had that in so long.
I mean, look what we have. I mean, we've got AJ Brown, we've got Devonta Smith, we got Dallas Goedert and Saquon Barkley. And then you're not even counting like the third guy they bought in, Campbell. He's decent too.
Okay. Oh, that's right, Paris Campbell. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a decent wire. He's a great number three option. And we still have a couple other guys on the team. On practice.
We still got the guys that seem to come off the bench when we need them, G Ward, and you know, you just never know. So some of these guys come in.
I'm not really concerned about that. Like that offense should be potent.
we know that depth is important even on the offense, especially mid year. But I think, like you said, if they're smart about how the offense needed to be 10 times more creative, which is what Nick kept saying he knew he didn't do, that to me should save a lot of injury time in the sense that if they play smart, they won't. Because they saved DeAndre Swift, and DeAndre still broke 1,000 yards for the year, and I didn't feel like they used him as much as they could have.
No, and he stayed healthy this year. He stayed upright this year, too. So.
Which is why I thought it was a given he was going to stay, but I can, as much as I was shocked about Saquon, I can say now I get it. I get it now.
I love what Saquon's kid said. Did you hear what his kid said? Hey, Daddy, are we going to win now? Because we got
that was funny. That was very funny. His daughter was so cute. She was like, "Hi, Daddy." He's like, "Yeah." She said, "Are we going to win now?"
His son ran in. You see his son run into the table with the helmet on.
I cracked up because I sent you that. Because I said, "Yo, he just went straight for."
I was crazy. He just ran right into the table like boom.
And then he couldn't stop because he just wanted to run around. He's like trying to put the helmet on him. The kid's like.
His kid, I was listening to his interview on New Heights, and he was like, he said how much his kid loves football. His son loves football. He was like, this kid. And he's like,
thank you. He's just going to go with his head first, you could tell. So if he ends up being a running back like his dad, he's just going to be like, all I know to do is charge. Just charge. But as much as we talk about that, that to me is what we're looking forward to the most, especially come training camp, because you want to see how everything starts to flesh out. I mean, granted, they're not going to show you everything. We know the drill. But I'm thinking even OTAs, maybe we might see a little trial and error, because I feel like now that they have all these new players, they're going to probably make use, even though they said they don't have a lot of OTAs on, like practices on schedule. I still hope that at least they tease what may or may not be the offense for some of these players. Like I hope we at least get to see some interactions on OTAs, because OTAs never meant anything before, but I just feel like right now they should mean a lot more, because there's a lot of guys who didn't get a chance to finish the season, and then there's also just guys like Jalen Hurts who's always practicing. So I just feel there's no reason for majority of them to be mandatory.
Yeah, now you have so many guys also don't get that extra rep that they have. They don't have that extra preseason game to get that extra reps in. So,
and we want to see how Vic and all of them work. Like, how are these coordinator coaches going to blend? You know what I mean? Like, I just want to see what the mentality is going to be. And, you know, I just feel like OTAs to me is going to be the first preview. And then we still got the draft. So it's like, I just feel like in the next 2 months.
And the draft is coming up, actually, isn't it? Like 2 weeks?
Like towards the end of the month. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We're almost mid-April already. Crazy if that sounds, but. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's so depressing how quick it goes. But then I'm like, if it's draft time, it's great. Where is the draft this year? I don't know why I forgot that quick. Is it Detroit?
It's Detroit, yeah.
That sounds not exactly exciting. But I'm more excited just to see. I mean, because we kind of know, and I listened to a mock draft earlier on around the NFL podcast real quick, and I can already tell nothing's going to be a surprise secondary in the first five.
I think we're going to go secondary in the first round. I think so. That's what I want
to
see.
You're going to have to bet on that, Eddie.
that might have to be
a $5 wager.
I want to see that kid. I want to see their Quentin Mitchell or somebody.
The one I sent you. Yeah. That's what I thought. That was a good pull from was it Fourth and John or somebody who did it, Inside the Birds, one of them. But I remember thinking that makes sense to me too, but we'll see. I'm just excited for, you know, we're going to do our live draft specials. We always do for the first night because it's just more exciting that way. But at this point, I'm like you. I really just want to see what the first round is. At that point, I don't really care after the first round, because how many more needs can they really fulfill that make sense?
Well, second round, I think the second round is also important because you're going to get a, you get your potential starters in the first three rounds. Like, that's where you get your high, your more potential starters are going to come out of those first three. And this year we have 2 second round picks too. So, I mean.
So you think linebacker, maybe another linebacker?
I would like to see a linebacker.
Me too.
We could go edge rusher, could go linebacker.
You could go tight end.
Could do that as well. I mean,
there's a rumor available. About some people think that there's a certain tight end that some mock drafts are think the Eagles should get.
What, in the second round? Or
I don't even know. They just mentioned some specific tight end, and I just remember I'm like, why a tight end? And then I just realized, I'm like, well, Dallas really doesn't have really good enough backups yet. Because now that what's his name?
We haven't seen Gal Katera get a lot of opportunities yet, so.
Yeah, and he also had a concussion already last year, so.
I mean, with Stoll being gone, maybe this is his year to finally step into that number two spot and actually, you know.
Whatever works. I just know Calcaterra had a concussion last year, and I said that boy is concussion prone. I feel like this is his only year, his last year, to prove that he can do something, because the little fluke catches that he made during that one game that shocked the hell out of me. I was like, yo, I didn't even know he was on the team until that happened. So
yeah,
somebody's got to be a strong backup for Dallas if he goes down again, which I don't think he will, but, you know, freak things happen. It
that
seems to be tackle. Always the Dallas games that shit.
Yeah, that was a freak tackle, though. The guy drove his arm down and landed on it. I'm like, yo.
I'm telling you, because the last few times the Dallas guy was injured, it was like just 1 week he was down for like a concussion, and I think he got collided into on the Bronco game. And after that, that was the most severe. So that was the longest he'd been out. Those last two seasons. So, but I know everyone's thinking like he's injury prone. I was like, get it the freak out of here. Like, Goddard being injured for longer than a month or two was actually a bummer, only because the way they were doing the offense 2 seasons ago made sense for him. They didn't really use him a lot last year, so it was only missing because the offense was looking so stale from the door. It wasn't because he was gone. It was just the whole offense as a whole was looking like crap. So.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think, before we go, do you think Smitty's going to get locked up this year, or do you think they're going to wait?
I think he will. I think they'll do it for the year is out. I think it'll happen. It may happen before the actual season starts, so who knows?
Let us pray. I'm hoping it'll happen before the draft, just for a splash, if not after.
And we can't forget the Flyers are going into the playoffs too soon. They had a bit of a slide, though. I don't know
They've
if you
been
noticed.
Having a little bit of a four-game slide. Yeah,
well, it kind of sucks that the thing is, I don't see us doing that well into it, because we don't have the goalkeeping is
the goalie
situation.
And even though we got that 7-foot dude, it's still not the same kind of consistency. No. So.
Damn Carter Hart, like, come on, man.
Oh, God, I know. What a mess. All right, well, to be continued, as next time we're going to talk, it's either going to be a week before the draft or after the Sixers finish regular season, we'll talk. And then we're going to discuss discuss how we think these Sixers are going to look in the playoffs. And then hopefully the Phillies will be in a better record stage by then, which I think they will, you know.
It will be. Because pitching looked actually not bad. I mean, except for Nola had a crappy start.
Yeah, which I'm used to.
Bullpen didn't start off great in the beginning. No. But it kind of settled in. Like, some guys are actually – you know, it takes a while for pitchers to get stretched out and get there. Like, I was saying, like, Ranger looks good. Like,
yeah, Ranger looked fine. The most thing that really pissed me off was the weather. The weather, I think, is messed up the whole flow of the first week.
Wheeler
so.
Looks good.
Wheeler's never had an issue. Turnbull, if anything, he's lacked support. It's the hitting that's the problem right now. Hitting.
Yeah, Turnbull looked good. I mean,
we got to have Johan Rojas not running bases crazy.
Yeah,
poor baby.
Yeah, that right.
He wants so bad right to there. Do good, but I was like, yo, dude.
Like, calm down.
You're about to get designated like Brogdon.
Yo, well, I knew after Brogdon did that, I was like, yo, he's gone.
I felt so bad for him, though.
I know.
I put that on our page just because I wanted everybody to realize, like, he's aware he looked like crap. Like, it's not like he's in denial.
He, He was the last person to make the team too. Like,
They really kind of were out on him from the door. He just put a, he made it easy for them to designate.
It was like, all right. And then that kid they bought up in his place, Pinto, he looked he looked good the other night. I mean,
he looked good for a dude that had been gone for most of the gets stuck in traffic, and homie goes in there and does his job and was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't play much last year. He didn't play much last year at all. And that splitter that he throws, is that thing is filthy. He was like getting guys with that crap. I was like, wow. So, hey.
Well, we'll see what's going to happen. To be continued. And like I said, the Phillies got what? We now down to like 156 games left. So we can stop our bitching. And thank God we got the Sixers to focus on until the Eagles get, you know, reared up and the Flyers. So, yes, keep hope alive, you know. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the time, Birds of Feather, we'll talk to you next time and we'll talk more about our teams. And hopefully, we'll be talking playoffs. All right, y'all. Holla from me, AJ the Suburban Princess, Birds of Feather, Co-ed Edition, Eddie B. We'll talk to you then.
Later.
Bye bye.